The ringing of the bells is a traditional call to prayer. So we allow the sound, that ringing, to lead us to these 20 minutes of stillness and silence, in which we move to our deepest desire, which is simply to hear Jesus speaking directly to us. And to help us to do this in this Lectio Divina, we use the scriptures, the scripture passage of the day. And we begin by taking moments to prepare, to be comfortable, to be aware of your breathing. Perhaps a couple of yawns is a good way to put some oxygen into the lungs and to help us to relax, and then gradually allow your breathing to deepen. As you breathing out all anxiety, all worry, and on the in-breaths, breathing in all the good things that God has to offer you in these moments. Don't try to empty your mind. Simply allow what is ever there to be there. While these thoughts, these anxieties and worries might be a problem for us, they're not a problem for God. They're certainly not an obstacle to the work that Jesus is wanting to do with you in these moments. Become aware of the people for whom you wish to pray, for whom you are concerned. Be aware of those whose presence is encouraging you and giving you hope, but also be aware of those who you are finding more difficult. Be aware of the circumstances that are part of your life, the things that you are enjoying. And the circumstances that are more difficult for you, all of this we allow to be in our mind as we prepare to listen to Jesus speak to us. Allow your desire to hear the voice of Jesus to grow. Be aware of your expectation. Be aware of your need. The Gospel reading for Saturday of week 6 in Ordinary Time is Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain where they could be alone by themselves. There, in their presence, he was transfigured. His clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than any earthly bleacher could make them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter spoke to Jesus. Rabbi, he said, it is wonderful for us to be here, so let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, they were so frightened. And a cloud came, covering them in shadow. And there came a voice from the cloud, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Then suddenly, when they looked round, they saw no one with them any more, but only Jesus. As they came down from the mountain, he warned them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They observed the warning faithfully, though among themselves they discussed what rising from the dead could mean. And they put this question to him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah has to come first?" "True," he said, "Elijah is to come first and to see that everything is as it should be. Yet how is it that the scriptures say about the Son of Man that he is to suffer grievously and to be treated with contempt? However, I tell you that Elijah has come, and they have treated him as they pleased, just as the scriptures say about him." Don't try to remember now what you have heard in the reading. Don't try yourself to understand the reading. Simply, in stillness and silence, invite Jesus to reveal to you what it is that he wants you to hear in this scripture. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain where they could be alone by themselves. There, in their presence, he was transfigured. His clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than any earthly bleacher could make them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter spoke to Jesus, "Rabbi," he said, "it is wonderful for us to be here, so let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, they were so frightened. And a cloud came, covering them in shadow. And there came a voice from the cloud, "This is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him." Then, suddenly, when they looked round, they saw no one with them any more, but only Jesus. As they came down from the mountain, he warned them to tell no one what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They observed the warning faithfully, though among themselves they discussed what rising from the dead could mean. And they put this question to him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah has to come first?" "True," he said, "Elijah is to come first and to see that everything is as it should be. Yet how is it that the scriptures say about the Son of Man that he is to suffer grievously and to be treated with contempt? However, I tell you that Elijah has come, and they have treated him as they pleased, just as the scriptures say about him."
Now that we have heard this reading with renewed ears, with deeper openness, speak to Jesus about your own life, about what you heard in this scripture passage. We've heard the reading, we've pondered, we've meditated on the words, we have spoken to Jesus about what we have heard. Now we come to the next phase of our prayer, the contemplation. It's often easy to talk about what we talk to Jesus about if we're expressing this to others, but contemplation, it can kind of seem as though we're wasting time or even daydreaming, but don't worry about that. We're simply going to gift Jesus the time in these minutes. We're not going to worry too much. We're going to give the responsibility for this prayer to Jesus. It's his turn now to speak to us. Let's listen. What do you sense, Jesus, saying to you? Again, don't worry too much if you feel as though your mind's wandering. We've given the responsibility for communication in these minutes, the responsibility for this prayer to Jesus. We're giving him the time, the work of this prayer. This prayer of contemplation is not our work, it's the work of Jesus. All we need to do is to give the time and to stay with our desire to hear his voice. And now we come to the final stage of this prayer, this Lectio Divina prayer, this holy reading time. A stage often known as the action stage, and we tend to think, now that I've heard the reading and meditated and spent some time in contemplation, what can I do? A better question is not what can I do, but Jesus, what are you calling me to do? Jesus, what are you inviting me to do? How are you calling me to change the way I think, the way I act, as a result of this time of prayer? As this time of prayer draws to a close, let's not worry too much about what we feel has happened or not happened in the time. The fact is, we gave these minutes to Jesus. And often when we don't think much has happened, or we think we've been all over the place, they are the very times when, at a level deeper than our consciousness, Jesus has been working in us and through us. And so we conclude this time with confidence. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.